Now let's welcome Matthew Taylor.
So good morning again. Please be patient with me this morning. I'm getting over a little chest congestion, but we're going to make it through. So many of us woke up this morning without the concern of ICE knocking on our doors, without the thought of being one of the 2,300 plus children separated from their parents. But this is America, and we wouldn't do that. Many of us woke up this morning without the concern of being discriminated against or without the thought of being murdered because we want to go into a restroom that is different from the gender we were assigned at birth or because the gender that we currently present is not that of what we were assigned at birth. But this is America, and we wouldn't do that. Many of us woke up this morning without the concern that we might lose our jobs or might have our livelihood changed based on the opinions we express on a social media platform. But this is America, and we could do that. This morning, during our service, you may have noticed a theme of anti-oppression, or for some folks, like myself, we call it the struggle. When the music video for This Is America aired on May 5th, 2018, I couldn't think about how important it is for us to have this conversation today. For those of you who may not have seen this video, I'm going to talk a little bit about it today. The actor Donald Glover, using his stage name of Childish Gambino, released a music video for his above-mentioned song. The same night that he was hosting Saturday Night Live. That night during the show, he did two musical performances, one highlighting his first recent single, Redbone, and then his second single, This Is America. As many things go these days, right after his live performance on the show, the video appeared on YouTube, and to date it has had over 353 million views. At first glance, when you see his performance on Saturday Night Live, you could think that the song was just your average performance with him dressed in only a pair of slacks and with a group of kids as backup dancers. But when you tune in for the actual video, the symbolism kicks in, and not only did he pull some of the choreography to tease us, he's also pulled some of the music video symbolism out to draw us in more. I have to give a trigger warning now. I'm going to be talking about the video in detail, and there is some gun violence. So I will give a moment for anyone who may be triggered by gun violence. In the video, it starts off with a visual of a warehouse. The intro choral begins, and it's sitting empty, all except for a chair with a guitar in its seat. And then you see a man walking into the scene. He picks up the guitar, as he begins to play. The warehouse seems peaceful with the walls painted whites and possibly pale yellows. The music is completely subdued. And in the distance, you see Childish Gambino slowly moving as he begins to sing the opening lyrics. We just want a party. Party just for you. We just want the money. Money just for you. I know you want a party. Party just for me. Girl, you got me dancing. Dance and shake the frame. He turns around, and in his face and other body movements, you see him making strange faces and poses, which in some commentary, people have described it as those advertisements and movies that you would see from the Jim Crow era. It's these caricatures in blackface that are exaggerated black features, and they are performing stereotyped actions of black folks. Slithering like a snake, Gambino keeps moving and dancing along until he comes to the man sitting in the chair, who now no longer has a guitar in hand and is instead sitting in the chair with a bag over his head. Gambino then pulls out a gun and shoots the man in the head. The man in the chair falls to the ground, and from off the screen, on runs a guy with a gun and with a red cloth, and he takes the gun in hand. He carefully takes the weapon away. This is the first time in the video you hear him say, "This is America." I know for me personally, this first minute of the video had me shaken. I was not prepared nor expecting to see someone's life lost so fast. And all the while, Gambino is still walking toward the camera. And now in the foreground, you're focused on Gambino, while in the background, a few other folks rush in to drag off screen the gunshot victim. Before you know it, you see other things happening in the background. Like white noise, you don't pay attention to it. But I know I completely forget about the shooting when Gambino is joined by his backup dancers, which are a group of middle school to high school age kids, all in their uniforms, smiling and dancing as Gambino is moving ever closer towards the camera. You see in the background, there are more kids running in and some are dancing. And there's even a kid on top of a car with a money gun and he's making it rain dollar bills. That once vacant warehouse now has more folks in it, and it's beginning to get crowded. Gambino's then seen dancing with the kids again. And then as the song transitions, the transition focuses on a choir singing about getting money. And it's not before long that Gambino guns them down as well. Like the earlier scene, someone moves in very swiftly to take the gun and wrap it in some fabric and whisks it off screen. Seeing this happen twice for me made me question, what is the value that we place on human life versus that which we are placing on guns? If you all remember earlier this year, again, guns has been a major contention for folks, with people asking about the gun ban, but then we all got distracted. Then in the video, you see folks running onto the scene in a riot-like fashion, and the scene changes again, and we are looking at Gambino again in the foreground dancing, all the while there's chaos ensuing in the background. He is again joined by the dancing Negro kids, which are reminiscent of the photo sequence from the TV show Good Times. In the background, there is a major fire burning cars, and there is a shot of kids who are sitting on some rafters above Gambino with all their cell phones out and their mouths covered. It is not known if their mouths are covered to protect them from the smoke of the fires, or if it's because they are all there to witness the chaos, and yet no one is speaking. Again, at this point, I question, is this who we are in America? Are we so caught up in being a witness or seeing these different things happening and posting them so that we can get more Facebook likes and Instagram likes instead of actually helping folks? Often, I ask you, what happens when we are silent? By this point in the video, the children are dancing again with Gambino, or should I say distracting with Gambino. Because if you are not paying attention, you will miss the man in black riding through on a pale horse. At that point, the music slows, and then there is silence, and you hear a scream. Gambino then walks off onto the next scene, lighting a cigarette and climbing atop a car. And the camera pulls back to see another man sitting in a chair with a bag over his head, playing guitar. And the songstress SZA is standing next to a car in the empty warehouse, which is now acting as a vacated parking lot or an abandoned car lot with cars parked facing each other and without motion. This is the time that is used in this video as a dance break. And again, it's like a distraction because this then leads into the ending sequence of the video in which you see Gambino running for his life down a dark hallway. And all you see is his eyes. And as he continues to run, you see that he is being chased or possibly they are running with him. but he's running to get away from the group of folks. In some of the commentaries I have read and watched, they say that Gambino is symbolic of America and how the ease of distractions, we miss much of what is going on in the greater world and even in our own backyards. I think you all may be wondering why this video is so important for the culture. There are some key things here that I think are being addressed that we must think about as you use trying to navigate in this world. When I started my sermon today, I mentioned three different issues that we are facing today in America. And my question to you, is this America? Right now in our current near history, we have children who were separated from their parents at our borders and were detained and taken to soft-sided shelters as unaccompanied alien minors, with an average of this happening to about 65 children a day from April through May. They weren't placed in these neat little shelters as the powers that be would have you believe. These are concentration camps. I'm going to say that again for the people in the back row, that in 2018, we are putting children in concentration camps. These kids were taken away from their families and put into placements without any type of tracking information. So in case the kids were to be ever reunited with their families, it would be an easy process. There have been pictures released of the kids laying on the ground under what appears to be aluminum foil blankets. Many of the kids quiet because they have cried until their little voices can't cry anymore. There are also reports that some of the children have been victims of assault. But this could not be happening. We would never let this happen again. This is America. I find solace, although it's not easy, in the fact that as a faith tradition, we have moved forward, and some of us were present to act an immediate witness for our siblings down in San Diego on July 2nd during their act of resistance to ICE. And although that is a brave move, and I commend anyone who is fighting in the struggle with us, but I don't think that we should have ever gotten to that point. I think that it is also sad that in this situation, when we are looking to reunite these families, we must take the DNA of minors without parental consent, thank you, and without the minor's consent, because there was no pre-planning in how to reunite these families. I don't want to get all political on y'all this morning, right? I know it's too late. But my living and breathing and daily survival is political in this current climate. Although, I will say, I'm a cisgender gay man, and I do not have some of the same difficulties as my trans and gender nonconforming siblings, I would be remiss if I did not speak up or lean in to talk about it at this moment. I have the privilege of every morning waking up, getting dressed, and going out into the world because I am comfortable in my current body, which I was assigned at birth. But what about those folks that aren't? What is it about people and their rights to use a restroom in peace that we have such a problem with? But this is America, right? For our siblings out there, we must take into consideration is that, like most of us, all they want is to be loved and accepted and seen and heard. In 2017, there were at least 28 trans folk whose lives have been taken by senseless violence. And this year alone, we've already had at least 16 folks who've lost their lives. We are barely going on eight months into the year, and that's an average of about 2.5 people a month. I know that I may be preaching to the choir here because many of us may feel that folks have the right to live their lives without interruption, But I can't help but bring this up because of the numbers of our trans siblings who are subject to violence every day. Because of the ignorance and bigotry of folks that you and I interact with every day of our lives. You may be saying, I don't interact with those types of folks. But the problem is, and the truth is, you might. The trickiness of bigotry and discrimination is that it can be hidden in plain sight. Though, again, I am cisgender and gay, I am also Black. I may not be able to speak to all the struggles of our trans siblings, but I can tell you what it looks like as a person of color when the bigotry is hidden in plain sight. In the blurb about my service today, I mentioned the Barbecue Becky situation. Some of you may have heard the different stories about the folks that have been out and about policing people who at a second glance are just trying to live their best lives. But for some reason, folks have been weaponizing their privilege against people of color. The Black Lives Matter movement began in 2013 as a response to the acquittal of Trayvon Martin's murderer, George Zimmerman. At that time, and even now, all that campaign was saying was that Black Lives Matter too. Since that time, there has been more than 50 deaths that have occurred, and the culprit responsible for it all has been privilege. I have seen and been party to some of the same incidents that seem to plague our country today. The stories seem to be constantly pouring in of people that are calling the police in on folks because they are breaking some rule that said persons feel is their right to enforce. And I ask, who has bestowed that authority on those folks? If I can have the police called on me for trying to redeem a valid coupon because you think it's fake and you're not even willing to scan it to see if it works, what does that say about America? I find it interesting that these folks get so upset because their bigotry and hate is exposed because of this immediacy we crave with social media. It makes me ask, are we numb? Are we numb? Are we numb to what's happening in the world around us? Do we lose sight of the things that actually matter? We seem to get a thrill from this quest to always find the bad guy and send out their pics and their info so that they may lose their jobs and so that they're put on blast so that everyone can see it. Or is it that we are so caught up in this current narrative being fed to us as the American public that it sounds so much easier to believe that folks are all immediately guilty? And it's up to each one of us to ensure that we are the ones that are enforcing and determining who is truly guilty without giving persons the opportunity to have due process. I'm not trying to skew you one way or the other, because racism and bigotry is real. But could it be that we are still working under the systemic problem that people of color are only 3/5 of a person? And so no matter what is said, it doesn't matter because we are not people anyway. When it comes to law enforcement, I think that some believe we are saying never to call the police and never to reach out when there is an actual threat of danger. That is not the case. But a question I would ask is there a clear and present danger? How will your life be impacted versus how will our lives be impacted? I would question, how often is it that you are on your way home and you are scared that at any moment you may be pulled over or questioned about whether you belong? I also asked, how often is it that you must give your children a talk about how to represent themselves with law enforcement because their skin color is seen as an automatic threat? Again, we are not saying not to report and not to seek out help. we are saying that you must evaluate when the situations really are before you. Unlike some of you, we are in jeopardy of losing our lives. It makes me question what is and when will we be able to do enough. If folks can't barbecue or swim in their own pools or can't have a lemonade stand or can't take a nap while they're at school or can't be standing in their own backyards or can't kneel in silent protest, then what can they do? I don't need an answer from you all today, but I want to leave you with these things to think about. If you have not seen the Childish Gambino video, I want you to check it out if you're able. I want to also challenge you, though, to look at the video several times to see the different nuances and then compare it to what you see happening in the world. And lastly, I ask that you look at yourself in the mirror and ask, how do we hold ourselves accountable? Again, for the people in the back, how do we hold ourselves accountable? How do we act as agents of change in our world? And then I challenge you to go out and do something about it. Ashe.